Do you have students who show leadership potential in your ministry? Are you looking to develop or strengthen your student leadership program? DYM would love to invite you to our Student Leadership Conference. It's this summer in three locations: Southern California, Granger, Indiana, and Atlanta, Georgia. Each conference is taught by Doug Fields and Josh Griffin and other DYM friends. Check out studentleadershipconference.com for more details, including pricing, dates, and exact location. We'd love to see you this summer.
This DYM podcast is brought to you by LeaderTrex. Go to serve, return ready to lead. On a LeaderTrex mission trip, you'll serve and get out of your comfort zone, and through the program, your students will learn how to lead. They will bring that leadership and confidence back to your youth ministry, and it will make a difference for the rest of the year. Learn more and sign up at leadertrex.org. And since we love DYM listeners, they always get 10% off resources by using the code DYM10. That's DYM10 at leadertrex.org.
This DYM podcast is brought to you by the Orange Conference, a three-day conference in Atlanta, Georgia for your entire ministry team. Maximize your influence on the spiritual growth of the next generation as we explore this year's theme, what it means to be for our neighbors. Register today or learn more at theorangeconference.com. Okay, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Download Youth Ministry Podcast. Doug Fields here with the Queen. She's finally back.
Jason Carson.
Hello.
Josh Great to
Griffin,
see you.
Hey. Co-host. We've Missed determined you. In 311 shows yep. that the role of the co-host is to count down
mm-hmm.
for us well, to from now on.
I did a great job.
I did a great job.
Thank you. A responsibility.
I appreciate
you.
That.
Yep. You've mentored
it's
him.
It's more than eye candy.
It's only taken 10 years.
Time to pass the torch.
Speaking of leadership, we have the king of all leaders to my right, your left. If you're watching, that's Jason Carson.
And
if you're his DYM 100 gold shirt.
Oh, what, this old thing?
Yeah. The king of all leaders, not an exaggeration whatsoever.
We have so much to talk about.
Yeah.
We're also picking the winner, somebody coming to DYM 100 that put a review on the iTunes.
The iTunes.
I just got chills. I'm excited.
We've got all the names entered
so
in.
Good. I love
There's
it.
About 70 people who put in reviews.
I'm so nervous.
That's a really good
For
chance.
For those of you that don't know, here's the deal. DYM 100, we're only picking 100. Applications are done. We haven't picked it yet.
Yeah.
We have way more.
Yeah,
we're in the multiple hundreds of applications. We're in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
So spots are
hard to come by.
They're very hard to come by.
1 in 70, not a bad chance.
On episode 308, we allowed in Sean Gajda.
Sean Gajda.
I can't remember
in.
Why we let him in.
Because of his last name.
Yeah.
It's a great last name.
Oh, because I told him he could come.
Oh, so now we confirmed that he could actually come. I'm still on the fence, but I've been overruled. It is what it is.
I thought he won some contest or something like that. So this is the contest. So here's the deal, Katie.
Yes.
What we've done is we took everybody who put in a review. Yes.
Into the iTunes.
Allison put them into the iTunes.
The iTunes.
Allison put them into a spreadsheet. Some people did multiple reviews.
Oh, so does their name have like a Roman numeral after
No,
it
they actually had, we put their name in twice.
Because
at first it came in and it said like, Terrace Crawford, 2.
Yeah.
And I went, well, that's, he's only going to appear once. We need to type his name in
twice. So you could win if you reviewed the podcast, you could win.
3 or 4 people who did 2 reviews.
Wow, good for them.
And so if they put a review in, they're going in to pick me.
Yeah, because there's an audio or video podcast.
I love
so could
pick
be,
me.
You could review
pick
it
okay.
twice.
We should first of all
great.
Say,
Talk about
this
pick
show
me.
Is not sponsored by Pick Me. It is sponsored by Orange, the Orange Conference.
Orange, you should pick Orange. That's what you should pick.
And we're
pick
all going to be there in April at the
yes.
Orange Conference.
Live podcast.
Can't wait.
Go to the orangeconference.com.
That's a thing.
Well, that happened while you were gone. Yeah, live show.
A live show.
So much, Katie.
Stop.
Welcome back to the
save
States.
It for the show,
guys.
We started
save
talking before,
guys.
And now
we're on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Save it though, Katie.
We also have sponsors. We've got this fourth sponsor opening.
Yeah.
Josh, I got to tell you about this meeting I had today.
Candle. Oh yeah.
We have so many people that want to be the fourth sponsor. And
is it Coke?
Oh
no, Diet.
If it was Pepsi, we would say no.
Obviously.
Bro, LeaderTrex.
LeaderTrex.
Yes.
YM360.
Yes.
Yes.
Great companies.
And?
Well, maybe we'll save it for the new studio. Oh, yeah. Josh and I have to make that
decision. We have a TV behind us in
the
studio.
I said, it's beautiful. This is the last time we're going to be in this room. And Elliot, smart aleck.
Producer
nephew,
Elliot.
Producer.
Handsome.
Elliot.
Supermodel.
Youth worker.
Tutor. Mathematician.
Abercrombie employee.
Said, oh, Rocket I've scientist. Heard that before. Yeah.
It was exactly gold, like that.
I know.
That was accurate.
But we
are moving
into our new studio in a week.
Wow.
Okay?
For reals.
It's so
Have
good.
You seen it? Do you want to walk through it after the show?
We're gonna go.
It's unbelievable.
It's outrageous. It really is.
Not telling us the fourth sponsor.
No, next show.
Actually, we've got some things that we're negotiating with different people. We haven't even decided, but yeah. I had a meeting today that
Another
was a very
one.
Good meeting, and they want to be part of
I'd
this.
Say yes. Let's add a sixth. Here we go.
All right.
Could they be a co-primary sponsor like Orange and pay the big bucks?
Wouldn't that be great?
Yes.
That would be great.
Why wouldn't they do that?
We need to get people to sponsor DYM 100.
We could put little signs on the microphones. Mm-hmm. Or like a cup that's, well.
Yeah,
like,
we could put labels on the cups like Yankee Candle.
Yeah, doing
all right.
Okay, here we go. Pick me.
Here's pick me.
Can we see it? Do you want them to see it?
I'm going to.
The video, like if there really will be a video show. Oh.
So this is going to bring up
who
it is.
How do we get in full screen?
Click full screen. That's what you do. Let's see if Fields can figure out the DYM
click
games
full screen,
out.
Whatever.
This segment this brought exciting. To you by DYM Games. That's it's so easy that if Doug Fields can do it, any idiot can do it. I don't remember that's how the tagline goes.
Any idiot.
It's like along those lines.
Yeah. Elliot fed me that line. Thank you. Elliot likes it.
Okay, Josh, I don't know how to make it.
Talk amongst yourselves and I'll make it work.
Okay. This is exciting.
Katie,
dude,
yes.
Feel the drama.
We're
going
to have to
it.
Disappoint so many people on the DYM 100. I actually think what we should do is we should do 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like back to back.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh.
And then
wow. Week two
and then
in
we're
going to
disappoint less people that way and let more people come. I don't want to change the number. Everybody's saying do a DYM 200, 300, 400, 500.
No, don't do that.
I know.
Doug Fields likes it. Keep it intimate. So
I feel like that's us. If you want a big conference, you know, go to the Orange Conference.
Yes, it's a great one.
Yeah.
Josh Fields, you have so much stuff open on your computer.
Oh, I do that.
Oh, don't do that.
I do that.
Don't do
you
that.
Know, we have a lot. We're thinking about a lot of things at
I
once.
Know.
I've minimized 14 windows just trying to find the games
we're
app.
We're very important.
Well, here's the good news.
How important
really
are you?
Exciting.
The good news.
Oh, my goodness.
The good news is I did prep the show.
Okay.
Yes, thank you.
Here's what we're going to do.
How much is on your desktop?
You know what we're going to do? We're just going
to... Do you know how to work it?
Nope. Apparently not.
You're
okay.
Doing great.
See, I can pretty much do that.
Okay. All right.
Uh-oh.
Now what?
No, it's gone completely.
All right, here it is.
Wait,
here
we go.
Here's the winner.
DYM
so
pick me.
So we're picking someone?
Here's the winner.
This is exciting.
Well, this is coming up.
Should we do it on the next show?
I'll do... Feel the drama. Look at this screen.
It is pretty dramatic.
Fields, you're...
Katie.
Your computer.
While that's going on in the background, let's just quiet it.
Here it is. Here it is. Here it is.
Okay, here we go. Here we go.
Here it is. Three.
I want people to see their names.
Well, hold it up to the screen. Jason, run that up.
Walk over to it.
Why don't you walk over there to it?
This is
so... Put it right into the screen.
Next level.
And Allison, can you see it?
Push stop.
We need to take a picture.
Am I supposed to press something?
This is very us.
Yeah, you can. It's not a touch screen. It's not a touch screen. Push stop. Here it comes. Here it comes. And the winner is
Alex Garrod.
Alex Garrod. Congratulations.
Does that mean you get the DYM 100?
High quality. Wait, that's not the guy that won last week, is it?
No. That's Sean.
Is he in the DYM 100 now?
He is now.
That was it?
Yeah.
Could Alex be a lady, though?
G-O-R-R-O-D.
Yeah.
G-O-O.
No, G-O-R-R-O-D.
All right.
Alex Garrod, he or she, is now coming to the DYM 100.
Love that.
There we go.
Way to go, Alex.
This is
way to go.
That was really fun. Can we do it again?
No, it's not.
Katie, here's the deal.
I really wish my name was in there. That would have been so great.
Four episodes.
You really want to come.
Four episodes ago, you did not show because you had a crisis. We've been recording two episodes at a time.
Yes.
And you had a crisis of leadership.
Of faith. Wait, what?
You were going to go to the winter camp and there was too much snow.
That's right.
And you had to cancel.
Oh my gosh, you guys, it was the worst.
And parents tell us about that. And parents were happy about it.
What happened?
And it was easy.
Yeah.
Tell us about what happened. Making that decision.
I know I missed some shows. We literally
Shows. Pretty much we almost canceled the whole podcast.
2017. We're like, forget
it. I know. I asked if you wanted me back. I feel like we, like in our ministry, we had something happen weekly for about 5 weeks in a row. Just crazy stuff. So yes, winter camp. We are in California, and this has never happened before in my entire career, but we got so much snow in the mountains that 2 days before our winter camp, they closed all the roads, the schools, the power went out in the mountains, and so we had to send an email out and cancel our winter camp. It was the worst. Now, parents were fine, because so many parents that whole week were nervous, and we were like reassuring up until the point where I was like, I'm not going to hesitate to cancel if we have to. But right now, you know, Tuesday we didn't have to yet. The weather hadn't turned. But then by Thursday, you know, it was just
blizzard.
It was just crazy. I mean, we were praying for snow, that we would actually even have snow in the mountains here.
Yeah, you have so very faithful prayer warriors.
I know. Yeah. And so I was like, okay, I need to dial back a little bit with prayer. But yeah, I mean,
would you pray for my hair to come in?
Yeah, someone's been dialing that back for a long time.
So parents were relieved, you know.
It's too far.
It was crazy. The hardest part was it was really defeating for my team, like just our volunteers, everybody who had prepared. It was like really sad. And then, I mean, you guys know camp is just one of those times
momentum.
That there were kids that we were praying for, that would be a turning point for them spiritually. I had a student at my life group who gave up playing soccer all-stars to go to winter camp. You know, just all of those stories that kind of started, you know, flooding back to us. It just was really, really crazy. I mean, I think that was the hardest part, is we were all kind of banking on this being a really cool experience for so many students. So it just, that was really tough.
Tough call.
And how long do you prepare really for your winter camps? I mean, months, right? I mean, 4 months, three months?
Yeah, I mean, I think we were definitely preparing the whole month of January leading up to camp.
Yeah.
So, you know, we had, you know, definitely put in some long nights and, you know, things like that. So that was just a tough, and all of that just, you know, sitting in there.
Wow.
And now you didn't reschedule.
You didn't come up with another weekend or another day.
Yeah.
You just refunded everybody.
We refunded everybody. We had to like close it all out and refund everybody. We did lose some money, which was tricky.
Did the camp?
The camp fully refunded us.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's painful for them, too.
Yeah. Well, and for them, you know, they knew it was like, he was like, this is a freak thing, a freak storm. But he was like, they were out of power the whole weekend. So he goes, there's no way we could have let you guys come.
So imagine how food the wood bad would have been.
Oh, seriously?
How bad the food would have been.
Camp food's bad on a normal basis?
Yeah.
Try that.
Yeah. Without electricity.
Yeah.
Oh, no thanks.
So they were really cool about it. The bus company was really cool about it. The things that we couldn't get refunded on were like all the program supplies that we bought, or the credit card fees that you know, things like that are just thousands of dollars that you just can't recoup.
Yeah.
So that was
we actually don't mock credit card fees in this environment.
That's true. Sorry.
Because that's Fadi's bread and butter, which is how we
just keep your voice down a little bit.
Yeah. Fadi had a great trip to London on my credit card fees.
We want people to pay credit card fees because that provides us a
right,
studio.
Totally.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it was tough. It was really rough. And then we had the weekend that we were supposed to be at winter camp. You know, we had something tough happened with one of our students that was supposed to be there. And so it was tough. It was just tough to come out of that. And morale was low. I don't know. Students were sad. We threw a big party on the Saturday night, like at our weekend service and stuff, which was a blast.
Yeah, my son was at it.
And yeah.
It was unbelievable.
We had so much fun.
Packed house. Yeah. Our kids.
It went deeper into debt. It was great. Just throwing a party, trying to like, you know, just bring everybody together. But it was a bummer.
It is what it is.
That's such a great lesson for anyone watching or listening to. Like if you have to have the worst thing happen and you cancel, to throw a big party and make it the best you can. That's really cool, Katie.
Yeah, it was cool.
Actually, my line when we heard about it, because you weren't on the show, you know, is my line was, that's great. Is her biggest biggest camp in
yeah, it was
ever.
A big winter camp. Big, yeah.
So you get credit for having a big camp, and you don't have to go.
going to camp.
No, I
was
yeah. nice.
Yeah, aww. it was tough. I don't know those types of things. Yeah. You know.
Okay, and so then you just got back from 10 days in Rwanda on a mission trip with junior high and high school students.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
How many times have you been to Rwanda?
That was my sixth trip leading students. And it was just awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it really was. There's just something about taking students into that kind of place of discovery.
Absolutely.
There's so many lovely angles to it. And we started this trip 6 years ago and combined junior high and high school together, which... some people don't love that dynamic, but I love it.
It's
we
great.
Really loved junior highers and high schools mixing together. They just complement each other, and junior highers help high schoolers be a little more fearless, and high schoolers help junior highers kind of, you know, step up, rise up a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially with the boys. We just saw the younger junior high boys wanted to always sit next to the high school boys at meals and stuff like that. And
my boy being one of them.
Yeah.
Very, very thankful that he got to go on your trip.
It was cool.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Josh's son went.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Austin went on the trip, was there.
And I got to write a check to help sponsor
you did.
Him.
Thank
and
you.
Katie, did you write any checks for anybody?
I didn't get a letter.
No. I handed it personally
Josh
and said,
only give it
over
to
it and let him know.
Chip,
I wish I was included in that.
Chip, our customer service.
Elliot even gave me money to go. Thanks a lot, Jason.
I didn't get a letter, Josh.
Chip.
Oh,
Chip
you need
was
a letter.
Awesome.
You're that guy, huh?
Well, the Pharisees needed a sign. Jason needs a letter. So.
Oh, shoot. Ow.
Some people just have a big heart for what God's doing.
Yeah.
But
we just know what's going on in one another's life. Would your kid like some money to your effort?
So our customer
I just
service
gave all my money
Chip
to an
also
orphanage.
Went on the trip. How did he do?
He was one of my favorite parts.
You tell us.
He was one of my favorite parts of the trip. Honestly, it's always awesome on a trip of that kind of intensity and stuff to have a few people who just, they just breathe life into you.
Yeah,
and that's Chip. He's just so encouraging. I felt like I ran the best trip ever. I don't know,
awesome.
But Chip told me every single day,
how
this is the best
was.
Trip ever. Oh, so
see, there's a leadership principle there too.
Surround yourself with encouraging people.
Yeah, you know, when you remember the year when we went to, took so many people to Mexico and we had the flood.
Oh, yes,
and
the monsoon.
We're making, you know, decisions at 2 a.m. and we've got kids and all different. And it was those people that are like, they just, you want to be around them in the midst of crisis.
Yeah.
Totally.
Because they're safe and they care about you, you know.
Yeah.
And so you might even, as a leader, invite people that aren't even youth work, but they're just, hey, will you be by my side? Would you
just
hang with
me? That's great.
You know, I asked Chip to come back next year. I said, if your only job next year is just to breathe life into the team and encourage the team, Amy, he's just that kind of human.
Yeah.
So.
If you saw customer service from DYM when he was gone,
it was terrible.
When Doug and I were running it.
Oh, dear.
He's never going anywhere again.
He
can't ever travel again. But yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed it this year.
Yeah, thank you.
Well,
he's amazing.
I told my wife and my daughter that I would promote their little summer adventure.
Cool.
So if you're interested in either taking kids to Africa this summer, or if you are, you know somebody who's college age who would like to do an internship in Africa this summer, the website to go to is kml.center.
KML Center.
Dot Center. I didn't even know.
Dot Center?
Yeah, because when they texted me.
I was waiting for the dot com.
Me
There's
too.
No dot com.
No,
okay.
It's Kenya. missionleadership.center.
Oh, that's cool.
And you go on and it talks about the leadership experience that they're going to have this summer. And my youngest is running it. And Kathy, my wife, is very involved. And so is some of our other friends. But anyway, I said, it's kind of late notice for people to get. We'd rather them go to the student leadership conference.
That's
but
leadership
if,
conference.
if you...
Is that your daughter right there? Look, there's your daughter right there.
Yeah, if you want to take kids to Africa, this would be the type of thing to partner with. Because it sounds
they
overwhelming and feels like an overwhelming thing. But honestly, when you're partnered up with people who are passionate about it and have all the details worked out, it's just not as overwhelming as you think. Yep.
I mean, we were talking to Austin on Skype or FaceTime. Or whatever, and he's 11 time zones away. Like, he's just short of the other side of the world. And yet, we've had every confidence in the people that he was with and the experience, and he came away a changed kid. So,
technology helps a little bit sending your kids away a little bit just because you can connect a few times.
Yeah, and thankfully it was only a few times. I don't think we wanted to hear from him every day and all that. That was plenty. That was plenty good. And especially when you're like, he's so far away and he looks so tired and he just got his cast off from his broken arm too. So we're like, how's his arm? But he was a trooper from whatever the stories he's told.
He was awesome.
And loved it.
Like his dad.
Like his dad.
He does fall down a lot. Does he tell you that?
He what?
He falls down a lot.
He does.
He's so like in that awesome grade.
There's
like
a gangly mode in every junior high boy, and he is in the thick of it right now.
There's times where I'm watching a video of him, and then all of a sudden he just falls down.
He told me this one story. He's like, "We're in the Rwandan hills. Everybody's ahead. I fell down 13 times that day." I was like, "Hang in there, buddy. I don't know what else to say."
Well, it's nice to have a record of something. That's true. Like, so it's cool.
Check that off. New record.
But he's just. But I mean, like all in all the time. Yeah. And so I think that's where that comes from. Is he's just all in. Focused on what's going on, and then all of a sudden he
he loses it,
realizes there's a hill and falls down it.
There's another principle in youth ministry here that's good, that's happening right now.
Friendship.
You affirming a parent of a kid that went on a trip. It's just a great principle. That is a youth worker, you know, when you meet parents.
Well, there's 20 kids on the trip, and so now to know that my kid had special attention, care, love.
That she was running the trip, but knew unique things about him, like he tripped. You know, whatever.
He really ministered. Well,
he tripped.
Yeah.
he fell a lot.
But
the seventh,
our
sweet
best
seventh
follower.
Grade boys.
I agree. Coaching AYSO, like the same thing. Like when a parent picks up a kid and I can say something about their kid, they eat it up. Oh, it's like they've never heard encouragement about their kid before. Yeah. That's outside the church circles, of course. But like they tell me at the end of the year, we've never had someone care for our kid in coaching in any sport.
Yeah.
It's like, I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
All I did was say, hey, I'm really proud of them. This is what they're working hard on. Like, I hardly said anything about their character or their life.
You know where I learned that? I learned that when our oldest was in kindergarten.
Really?
Yeah. Because we went to the parent-teacher conference. And you always, you know, well, how's my kid doing in school? And the teacher was so affirming about Tori, I left and I went, oh, I could do that as a youth worker.
That's
to every
great.
Parent, you know, because it feels, you know, you want to hear that your kid is doing well.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
or
true.
What they're doing. So.
Well, and sometimes people see things in your kids that there's sides of your kids you don't see necessarily at home.
Or you're in the thick of it and you're in the not fun part of it. So you're like, okay, they are a good kid.
Yeah.
All right.
And we're
going to make
part
it
most of the time, which is cool.
It's true.
So,
This is a letter from Jeremy Nelson. Jeremy Nelson says, gold member, DYM alumnus.
Oh,
so I'm wondering if that's supposed to mean DYM 100 alumnus.
It has to be a 100 reference.
Yeah.
Is that an alumni?
Because we really don't have a DYM alumni.
Yeah.
But we do. It is important to mention you're a gold member. Yeah. It is important to mention.
He's in the club.
Yeah.
Jeremy.
Yeah. That's why we're reading your question right here.
A friend and family member.
From Indianola.
I'd like to just affirm him right now.
Oh, Indianola. He's the guy that gave us that.
And his
shirts,
children.
The shirts. Is that Jeremy?
Yeah.
Remember the Indianola shirt?
Yeah.
Oh, Indianola.
Where we said it was like a disease.
Yeah.
I've got a bad case of Indianola.
That shirt in my garage.
You'd be happy. You'd be happy
to my mountain bike. Clean my tires with. Hey, team. You know, sending a shirt.
I donated mine to the homeless.
Josh and I have such a different response when shirts are sent to the office. Josh's first response is, do they have a 3XL? 2XL? And mine
only
is,
certain fabrics do I require a 3XL. If those ones that tighten
soft
up,
ones.
Thank you. If it's too soft, you got to get a little bigger shirt.
But he literally, Allison True, that's his response. And then my response is, let me see it.
Let me wipe off my car with it.
No, I just, most like First Baptist Goleta shirts.
I'm going to wear that trash.
I know you are.
I'm going to wear it. I'm going to have it on Instagram, and it's going to be awesome.
I love when you wear my apparel. I feel really special.
She has given me specific JHM stuff to wear. Because you get a lot of play.
I get a lot of publicity from you. It's great.
I would wear it if it didn't say, like, church on it. I don't know why. Where I see a First Baptist church.
There's a verse in the Bible about not being ashamed of Jesus. So
not being ashamed. It doesn't say not being ashamed of the church. It's not being ashamed of the gospel.
Well, I don't know. Jesus gave his life for the church. I don't know.
Today. Yeah. Pharisee.
This is Brian,
I mean, you're weird.
You're kind of making fun of his wife.
Don't even try to talk theology with me.
Okay, what's our... What are we doing here?
I graduated with a master's degree from Fuller. Probably honorary, but whatever. Yeah. Right now, I love it.
Okay, yeah. Here, do you want me to read it?
I just have so many things going through my mind.
I know,
about
I
appreciate that. But I can't believe you haven't mentioned me being homeschooled in the last 5 minutes. That feels like an easy target.
Five shows. I follow DYM on social media and see you guys working your butts off for us. So thank you so much. It's a huge blessing to have DYM, the resources, the podcast, and the people behind it all who love students and leaders. Questions about that. You just posted a picture on Instagram, quote, burning the midnight oil, literally.
Ooh, this is a real question. This is like 2 days ago we posted that.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it got me thinking, you guys post that type of thing late nights working together somewhat regularly, and I'm wondering what types of boundaries you have for work and family. Do your families care if you're out crazy late working on this stuff? Have you set up a plan where sometimes you're gone and sometimes not? Do you just ignore them and remind them this is the Lord's work?
Ding, yes. Ding.
So, next question.
A question about boundaries between work and family. How do you do it? What are some good tips for both new youth leaders and seasoned veterans? How would you share, how would each of you share on the team, how would you share how each of you on the team sets boundaries for work and family stuff? Well, let me just reply specifically to this burning the midnight oil. Josh and I started Download Youth Ministry on Monday nights from 9 to midnight. And where it works for our family is Josh is, all of his kids are in bed. His wife is even asleep, right? Yep. Doesn't she go to bed at 9? Yep.
9 o'clock.
Wow.
House goes dark. All Monday nights, it is a quiet night in our house.
Yeah, and I would have never been able to do this in that season where we had kids in the house, but being an empty nester now, and Kathy has girls over on Monday night to watch TV, so there's no loss for me. There's this this very... I think uplifting spiritual show called The Bachelor.
Yes.
That is Monday nights, and there's a bunch of ladies that come, so she's happy
it's very
that I'm
godly.
Gone.
Yes.
So for us in this season, where it works for Josh and I is his kids are asleep. You know, I wouldn't have been able to do this when my kids were at home.
Yeah.
There's things that I can do now in this season of life that I could have never done with, you know, kids.
Yeah,
and
it's the one standing late night that we do just about every week. We have the same booth at the same restaurant every Monday night, and that's where we're hanging out. Yeah.
Restaurant? You call it a restaurant?
I definitely call Del Taco in Foothill Ranch a restaurant.
Okay. Absolutely.
World class.
World class.
I'm the same exact way as Josh is. Like, for me, like, when the kids are down at 8:30, and Julie loves a quiet night, and so I intentionally set meetings with whatever I need to do. If I have late night meetings, can they start at 8:30 or 9?
Really?
I do.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I do marriage counseling for people sometimes at that time, or because Julie's super happy to go to bed early. She gets up super early every morning to do holy yoga and all this other stuff. And so it's like if she can, she knows she can go to bed and doesn't even have to stay up and watch a show with me or something. You know, she's stoked.
Yeah.
So that's. But I save dinners with my family. I have 4 young kids at home, and so for me, it's always like that is sacred time.
Like, when you're a coach too, like today, 3 o'clock, you're going to be on the soccer field with your girls, playing, having a good time. So you can, and not cheat isn't the right word, but you can take time on that end that you're then going to give up on the other side. I think that's good. Yeah,
sure.
I love that. I love that you're a coach. Love that you're in your kids' life like that.
Yeah.
Dinners are a really important marker in our family too. If we're sitting around the dinner table 4 nights a week, then my wife is very happy.
Yeah. Solid.
Yeah. Any boundaries in your world?
Yeah, I mean, I think for us, it's always just kind of give and take, and every week is give and take. Sunday nights is, we kind of call it team meeting for our family. So Sunday night dinner is always a really important dinner, and that's kind of where we're talking about our week. So if there's weeks where there's a few nights out, then I'm usually making sure that the week after that's not happening. So, you know, there's just times where there's weeks where everybody's got a lot of going on, and then there's weeks where there's not a lot going on. So just making the most of those times. but I don't work... late at home very often, usually one night, and my family all knows that Tuesday nights is a night that when kind of everything settles down, I get on my computer. But I don't do that super regularly, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it kind of just depends on what's happening in the youth ministry, like in my ministry and stuff. But I lead a small group on Wednesday night. My whole family has their small group on the same night. So we've kind of just aligned. Everybody's out for small group on Wednesday night. That's just how that works. So just aligning little things as a family. We love the dinner table. Yeah. It's a big deal for us, too. But just really kind of, I've never been able to be locked into the same 7-day schedule. Yeah. Like
I like the ebbs and flows of it. It's really, really true, though.
There's some weeks where it's the week of winter camp, and so there's a few more nights, maybe that. But I make sure on the other side of winter camp, there's time off, and there's not a whole lot happening.
Pray
in the
for snow. I get it.
So totally, absolutely.
Well, the reality is that what you do in ministry never stops. And because it never stops, then we have to stop and we have to establish boundaries. Mm-hmm. And whether that's nights out of the week, the whole bit. Like, I just want to make sure that when Josh and I take a picture of Del Taco, saying burning the midnight oil, you know, like Allison, who's behind the camera right now, she was with us on Monday night, and Allison is not normally there, but we are so close to releasing something new that we're excited about that we've been working on a long time that we just got to get it done. And Allison volunteers. She's like, can I join you guys Monday night? Yes. She's done that the last 2 weeks and, you know, and has joined us. But that's not the norm.
Yeah.
You know.
I think, too, talking to your kids, if they're old enough. So I have two teenagers. And so we talk about my schedule. Like, are you guys feeling okay? Are you guys feeling like you're getting enough of me, enough of the quality time that you want? And they communicate like, well, can we have one-on-one time, or mom, you know, and same with my husband. I think it's not even always just up to me to figure out my schedule or whatever. Yeah. Involving them in the conversation and what do they need from you? Because if somebody goes to bed at 9 o'clock and they don't need a night from you, then it's, you know, that's okay. Yeah. You know, so even listening to your people, I think, is important.
Yeah, I think communication is probably the central thing. If you're not communicating on a quarterly, monthly, and then even weekly basis, you're in for trouble. Surprises are the big withdrawal.
Curveballs.
When you
curveball,
and they're going to happen in ministry. Totally. They're going to happen in what we do. So you have to minimize them. So if you communicate really well on the regular schedule, curveballs are going to be few and far between. You're going to be okay.
Sometimes you get a curveball like no winter camp and you go on a date night with your husband.
Exactly.
And
wins all the way around.
Totally. So that happens too.
Yeah.
Well, there is something about us being in ministry that we're in charge of our own schedule.
Yeah.
For most of us. There's some people listening, they're not. They're given office hours and that type of thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, when my kids were growing up, it was always I'm out the door at 2:30 because I'm coaching their sports. But then I'm making up that time.
Absolutely.
You know, after they're going to bed, I'm
totally
making that up. And Kathy's living with that sacrifice that I'm okay sacrificing that evening because
I got to be at the game.
And, you know, or I got time alone. She got time alone while I was, you know, running the practices or something like that.
Yeah. How great is it watching your kids play sports? I am having so much fun with that. Just as a dad, it is great.
I'm about to tear up, all right? Cassie being a senior in college.
Is it over or is there one more?
There's three more tournaments, yeah.
Dude, I watched Christian, my oldest, was playing volleyball this week.
What about the Olympics?
Week.
No?
Yeah, I don't think the Olympics.
It was just fun. Like, no one told me how much fun it was going to be to watch your kids, sports, fine arts, whatever. It's a blast. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, fine arts.
Yeah. Yeah, Chris plays the guitar too. He's really good.
That wouldn't
Did any of you guys have That's one of your kids play 7th grade girls basketball? I'm just checking. Because there's
5th and 6th grade girls basketball.
There's some fun.
It's painful.
But it's
your husband's Instagram about
LA was so 5th and 6th grade basketball for girls.
Shoot me now.
Have you heard my line?
Yes, you have like a hell reference to that.
Yeah, I have it on video. I get a lot of heat for it too.
Oh,
I say... And I tell the story about this girl telling me her dad doesn't go to the games because he doesn't like girls basketball. And I say, first of all, and you could tell the crowd is like, you know, they're waiting for me to say something significant. And I say, no one likes girls basketball. And then you hear a couple groans. And I say, no, 7th grade girls basketball, where the final score is like 4-3.
And
I said, if there is a sport played in hell, it will be girls basketball.
I mean, 7th grade girls basketball. I played basketball in high school. I love basketball.
I watched you play.
She was
captain.
Yes, totally.
We established this a few weeks ago. She's
captain
of the basketball team.
But so the junior high girls basketball games, they are
rough.
They're a something.
Yeah.
Let me just
when my daughter said she didn't want to play,
there's tearing up, but it's totally different.
It's a different,
than
it's
what
a different emotion.
We talked our daughter out of playing the next year.
Well,
we said, like,
you did not.
You shouldn't do that, honey.
Yeah, we did.
Hey, Christian, do the spelling bee.
Christian school, girls basketball, yes, even right. worse.
Well, fifth and sixth grade Christian school, girls basketball, right. even
shoot
worse.
Me now.
Here we go.
It's the worst.
Okay.
I'm not going to read this person's name. I've been in my current
John.
Church for almost 3 years.
Alex.
I do not have a strong relationship with my senior pastor because he just doesn't seem to care about me.
Aww.
We don't really seem to, we don't really see or talk to each other outside of our staff meetings and our biweekly meetings, where there is not much discipleship and mentoring going on. These meetings are more for just information swapping. I would even say we're more like coworkers when we say hi in the office, but that's about it. I mean, the only time he comes to my office is because someone has complained to him about me. I've tried to get to know him and talk to him, but he doesn't seem interested and is hard to keep a conversation going with. I say all this to ask this question. I'm currently looking to leave my church for a few reasons. One, I feel God calling me to go somewhere else. Two, I want to start a family and live closer to my family. Three, lack of leadership. Four, not being able to be me and do what I know needs to be done. And five, overall, I've been hurt by the church in general. When do I tell my church that I'm leaving? How much do I tell my church about my leaving?
Wow. Ooh. Loaded.
Mm-hmm.
Loaded question.
Sounds mm-hmm. like he's made up his mind.
Well, and those questions, you know, I can't read every question that we get,
yeah.
you know, but, and I wish I had a spreadsheet of when was the last time we dealt with this, you
totally.
Know, because I'm like, I know we've talked about this in 10 years, but.
Absolutely.
So it's just really what I'm saying. It's all Holy Spirit prepped.
Yeah. Episode 187, we did a good
Spirit.
Job on
yeah.
that.
Yeah. But a lot of questions come in about this, the loneliness that one feels by his or her senior pastor. And we've talked about the idea that a lot of times pastors will hire a youth pastor, and it's almost becomes like, okay, I checked it off my list of things to do, and now I have to go on to my other expanding and growing list, just like everybody
yeah.
else has. And you're not getting the discipleship and the mentoring and,
yeah.
you know, the whole bit. And, you know, being a senior pastor is very, very difficult. And I think a lot of youth workers come in with the expectations that my senior pastor is going to have all this time to just care for me.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
you're a senior pastor.
So
you have a senior pastor's wife
yeah.
in the room.
Look,
friend of ours.
Could I speak into this?
Like, Amanda.
This is, I just, boy.
McGuire.
Something just really hit me about it. Like, because I always thought like the exact same way. Now it's on the other foot.
Yep.
And, now you're a senior pastor.
And now the people working under me, I have been irritated with even recently a couple times that like it seems like they're never helping me or like supporting me. And so a lot of times it just seems like they're just kind of doing their own thing. And I have a million things. I'm overwhelmed. Every week, I've never known a busier job. I feel like I can never get caught up. I feel like it's just too much sometimes. Like, I'm just, how do I do this? And I need people to come
yeah.
along and go with the vision. And so when I see other people, like, I'm wondering, gosh, where are they? Or I need them to step up to the plate. Or how come I keep on seeking them out? How come I keep on sending them a text and I've never gotten a text from that kind of thing?
Yeah.
It just makes you think like, gosh, are you on the team here, buddy? You know?
Yeah.
Like, we need you to step up.
And you
up.
Think if they were talking to us,
uh-huh.
they might sound like this guy saying, man, we really don't get any time with Jason. I mean, he's a great guy and he's amazing in the pulpit. He's pretty average soccer coach, but
world class, debatable. Go ahead.
He doesn't. You know, we don't get much time with him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, in my case, right now, I'm frustrated because I keep on inviting him, like, let's get time, let's do this mm-hmm. mentoring thing, and they're not responding. And it's a mm-hmm. little like, come on, like.
Gosh, that's awesome.
So it's a little painful,
yeah.
but at the same time, I mean, I'm probably responding because of this kind of pain that
yeah.
way. But boy, if it wasn't on my radar, I have so many things to take care
yeah,
of and
totally.
So many fires to put out all week.
Yeah,
it's something like that. You know, you expect, well, gosh, I got a great youth pastor. Let him run. I can't micromanage him. I have to deal with already 70 hours of work this week, and I can't. You know, go and babysit
yeah.
someone,
sure.
but and you don't want to think of it that way as babysitting, but you think like, And so you should be pouring into them. And it sounds like they might have made up their mind, obviously, with some of that language. When do I tell them I'm leaving and how much do I tell them?
Calling me to go somewhere else.
Yeah, and I also think for this guy, this
kind of a dumb deal.
Yeah, pretty close.
Well, and also lack of
leadership. Or a girl.
It's hard to follow somebody if they're not a good leader. And so he or she needs to go into the next situation. They're going to have better questions to ask, don't you think?
They for sure will.
You know. Yeah.
Do you think it's a reasonable expectation for a youth pastor to be mentored by the senior pastor? I would have said yes early in ministry, and I would say not a chance 20 years later. I don't think it's fair for this youth pastor, and maybe this will be one of the questions they do ask their next church, to go, hey, what's your leadership style? What's your relationship style? What's our relationship going to be like? Because if you walk in going, I want to be mentored, and this senior pastor is so sharp, and they're going to make me great, and we're going to get along and hang out, I think that's rare.
It's rare, I'm afraid.
And maybe it's an expectation that you have they do not share. And would and better questions up front maybe would have revealed that.
Expectations are huge. I think understanding. I think too, there's a difference between care and mentoring. So he used both.
Yes, yes.
I don't feel cared for.
I agree with that.
And I also was wanting mentoring. I think mentoring you can seek out from different people in different seasons. And I think maybe your senior pastor, you're asking, can you mentor me for 3 months? And here's what I'd like you to mentor me on. So I think with mentoring, there needs to be you pursuing and some specifics attached to that.
Yes. And an end date.
Care is a little bit different. You know, I think, wanting him to care for you in praying for you, or I don't know. I just think of those things in different categories. So even going into your next place, understanding really what it is that you need. Do you feel like he didn't care for you, or he wasn't mentoring you, or maybe it was both? But I think you seek those out differently and ask for those differently, or our needs are different in those areas.
Yeah. And wouldn't you think too, if you knew that the I'm saying this as a senior pastor. If I know that my youth pastor or worship pastor or children's director or whoever, if I know that they are invested and they would call the church their home and that they would say this, I'm in this for the long haul, obviously that means a lot more to me. If I know they're on their way out,
right?
This is like God called me to plant this church. God called me to be the senior pastor of this. It is a mantle that keeps me up at night. It is something that I bleed. It is something that is on my mind all day long. I would go to war with the people at the church. I would fight for them, cry with them, show up every chance, And so if someone's like saying, I want to see if something else is better out there for me, gosh, there's not a lot of investment in it. But if I know that there's someone that's like, hey, let me jump onto the vision of what's happening here. Let me be a part of what God's doing. How do we show honor to each other around the team? All of a sudden, it's like honor brings presence. And when presence happens and fellowship happens with people, all of a sudden there's synergy. And maybe some of that stuff might be happening. So
it,
tough.
It may also just be a leadership style, too. Because I kind of think about my style. I'm going, people that worked on my team were not people who I said, we are going to enter into a formal mentoring relationship. But my style is relational.
Totally.
And so it's hang, let's go to lunch, let's talk, come on over, we're doing this. Hey, help me coach my little league team, whatever it is. And I'm doing life with
shadow
other people.
Yeah.
And so that's just my style. But if somebody came to me and said, which many have said, from people on my team to youth workers around, would you mentor me? I don't really know what that means.
Yeah.
It goes back to the expectation. That's a kind of a freaky deal. But you're going to learn a lot if we hang around together, and I'm going to learn from you. That's what we do with one another. There's a lot of lessons that we pick up from one another. And there's a lot packed in there with expectation and style and personality.
Yeah. Sure, your own wiring and what you need.
Yeah, and this a senior pastor like this might be a fabulous Bible teacher who studies 30 hours a week, and they're highly introverted. And the only reason there's a team is because he needs other people to do the job. Like, that's all he cares about. He's walking from one meeting to the next, wanting to get back to his prep. and he's not thinking about you.
Yeah. And so at your next church, you've got to ask those questions and lay that out. I agree. When do you think it's the best time to tell someone, tell the church, tell the leadership, and then tell the students when you're leaving? In control, a little bit of his own timeline, it sounds like, his or her. So what would be the best practice there, you think? I like the natural breaks. I mean, there's never going to be a good time to transition. But if there's a natural break, like, hey, a bunch of seniors are going to graduate, we're going to get in a bunch of freshmen or something like that, that's a good time.
That's a good call.
It's easier on your kids if you have, you don't think he has children in this case, but it's easier on your kids if you're heading towards the end of a school year too, when they're going to potentially move to a new location. So I would say shooting for like a May something would be easier and better. Easier to start a new gig in August or September anyhow.
And maybe not right before a big event. If you have summer camp starting in June and you end, you know, middle of May.
I think you're praying for wisdom the whole time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because a lot of times you're not in charge of your own,
Well, especially once you go public with it, you're not in charge of it.
Yeah, be prepared, you know.
Yeah, if you go public with it, you better be ready to walk that day, because that leader could say,
you're not
part of the future.
Yep,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, we'll have your two-week check ready
2 weeks
to go.
And done.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the last question of what? How much should I tell him when I do tell him? Well, I just had this conversation yesterday with a guy over lunch. It was an incredible conversation. It was so good. And we were talking about, like, if you know something super hurtful to somebody, should you tell them or should you just leave quietly and peacefully? It's like, well, look, if you're going to leave a church, you're doing all kinds of injustices and disservices if you're not honest. If you can't tell them, hey, I'm hurt, or I was mistreated, or I was unloved, or I wasn't ever respected, or anything like this, you're setting up future generations, future hires to come in and get treated the same way. Now, that if you tell them and they ignore it and they blow it off, well, that's on them. But at least you were honest.
Or if they have another side of that story as well.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe there's some wisdom to get gleaned.
Gleaned from the process. Yeah.
to glean from. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Check the iTunes.
But no, if you can say all that and then all of a sudden they say, well, Jason, let me tell you how it really went down and maybe you missed this. Sometimes you came across like this and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I did, and now I have an area to grow in.
Yeah.
So thankfully I brought it up so that I could hear my area of growth on the way out, and then they can do whatever they want with what I told them.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't ever pour into their staff, and maybe the pastor would say after this guy leaves, hey, maybe I should start pouring into my staff. And praise God that God used him on the way out. There you go. So,
well, this is going to be the greatest transition in the history of the show. We're done. Okay?
Hey, we're on our way out.
We're on our way out. Okay.
Yeah, because we've got, you know, Katie.
Yeah, she's in. I got to go cancel some big event. Here we go.
Haven't been with you guys for four times, but I got to go.
Give my heart
to the St. Patrick's Day Parade.
Anyway, you all
are a really big deal.
If you are listening, you are love. That should be the tagline.
I like it.
Yeah.
Just enough love that you don't feel guilty for listening.
If you're listening, you're love.
It might have messed that one up.
All right, this is episode 311, and I'm not sure when it will.
Yeah, do that. It will never be on video, but it will be on audio soon.
It's going to be on video?
I don't know. Elliot's kind of dropping the ball.
is it Elliot that drops the ball?
It's 100% Elliot.
Oh, because I've seen on Twitter, like, some people can't watch it.
Yeah, it's Elliot's fault.
Oh.
Yeah, so if you're listening, which is the only way you'll be hearing
it.
Thanks
for not telling me, but.
Yeah. Well, the new studio is coming. All right, you're all wonderful. We will talk to you soon.
Yay.
This DYM podcast was brought to you by the Orange Conference, reminding you that what you and your team do every week matters. To grow and connect as a team, join us at this year's Orange Conference. Register or learn more at theorangeconference.com.
This Download Youth Ministry podcast is brought to you by Generate Camp by YM360. Join us this summer as together we explore how the gospel transforms, revolutionizes, and fundamentally changes everything. Check out our week in Durango, Colorado, July 31st through August 4th with DYM's very own Josh Griffin by heading over to generatestudents.com today.